Last week we introduced our new series in the book of Jeremiah together, and we had various questions. Something that I always do when I approach a new book to study is to ask various questions of that book to help me understand the who, when, what, and why questions. Who wrote it? When was it written? What was said, and why was it said? I've got to say, we're still very much at the introductory stages of the book of Jeremiah, because there is so much for us to learn from this dear brother. I could really have had at least 3, if not 4 weeks just on the introduction, really, but we wouldn't go that far because some of you would groan more than we should. But mainly because there's so much that has been written about it, and also, sadly as well, so little we know about this dear prophet, despite so much written about him personally. There's so little that we do know. Was Jeremiah married? What was his job? What did he say, and why did he say it? Why did God tell him to stop attending funerals and weddings? Why did God tell him to stop praying for certain individuals and situations? Questions that, God being our helper, we will answer as we go through this series together, but important questions. I think it's important, as we laid out last week, why we should study it, first and primarily because it is one of only of 66 inspired books of the Bible. But do you realize it's the third longest of the Bible's books in the Bible as well? It's actually the longest of all of the prophetic books, longer than Isaiah and Ezekiel. In fact, if you put all the minor prophets together, the book of Jeremiah is bigger than them all. And so it behoves us to study it, to learn from it, to ask that question, Father, what are you still saying to your people in this day? I've got to say also, there's going to be some pastors and preachers, when they get to heaven and meet Jeremiah, they're going to be very embarrassed. You know, when the brother comes to him and says, so, when you preached your series on my book, how did the people receive it? Oops, we didn't think we'd do your book because it was too big and it was a bit too long and a bit too involved, and we didn't understand it all, so we left that one out. I'm sorry. Praise God, we're not going to leave it out. But we're going to look at it verse by verse, God being our helper. In every moment of history, there needs to be a strong messenger of God who will communicate the actual word of God to all the people. And that is exactly what we see here. I'm sorry, I haven't got me clicker, so you'll have to click for me, Ben, tonight, if that's all right. I'll nod and you click. Because this is what we see in this first point, that God's word is to be communicated to all people at all times, in all political and religious settings. And that's exactly what Jeremiah did. Hallelujah. He was faithful to communicate God's word, despite the disappointment. Despite the opposition to him speaking the truth, and there was much opposition. And do you know where the greatest opposition came? From God's own people. And especially from the religious people in his day. The opening book of Jeremiah is the basis of the whole of the book. It's the opening verses, 3 verses. Although, thank you for reading 10 verses to put it into context, but we're actually only going to be looking at these first 3 verses tonight, God being our helper. So before we do that, let's pray, shall we? Father, we praise and thank you in Jesus' precious name that you raise men up to declare your truth. Your word says that you have not left a generation without a witness. Lord, that was true in Jeremiah's day and all the way through the recorded history of your people. But also we thank you that through the dark ages of our own nation, there are those who were faithful to your word. Father, just like you raised up your servant Esther, you have raised up your church in these days for such a time as this, that we may bear witness to your saving power through your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we would be found faithful in declaring the message that you've given to us. And Lord, as we consider this truth and the implications of it for us this night, we just pray that you'd help us by your Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. that same Spirit that convicted us of our need of a Savior, that same Spirit that revealed the truth of Jesus to our hearts, we pray that He would lead us and guide us tonight, and that You would do Your chosen people well, we pray. For Jesus' sake and His glory. Amen. So, verse 1 of chapter 1, the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. You notice there in verse 1 immediately that it says there that this book contains the words of God written by this man called Jeremiah. That's how God communicates His word. He communicates His word through men, to men, through men. He communicates through words, through sentences, through phrases, through clauses, sentences and paragraphs which are put together, and all these words form context for us to understand. God reveals Himself to man through the words. In this case, the word was given to Jeremiah. And that's the first thing that we see there in our first point. God specifically uses those words, noun words. And the primary meaning of that is to set something in a row, to arrange something in order. And so Jeremiah did that. He set forth the word of God in an order, in a set manner, so that God's people could understand what God was saying. That includes warnings. Warnings that if they don't repent from their continual sin, God was going to act. It contained prophecies. Prophecies of God, what God would do in their day, but also what God will do in the end days as well. It contains events and everything in this book that Jeremiah laid out in order for God's people to understand what God's word was to them. His name actually means that. Jeremiah means whom Jehovah has raised up, whom God has lifted up and appointed. God lifted him up and appointed him to be a messenger of His word. You know, there's something very, very important and very practical for us to glean from this first phrase. And it's simply this, that there is a person or a church that God will raise up that will be dedicated to the setting in order of the Word of God. Systematic verse-by-verse teaching. If a church is going to be a church of God, if a man is going to be a man of God, that's exactly what they should do. Set out systematically in order what God has instructed in His word. Not just hodgepodging around and picking up verses and in the wind and, oh, that one, let's read what that one. No. In context, so that we can understand what God was saying in His day, so that it can be applied in our day. Laying the word of God before God's people is the best way that we can communicate God's truth. And do you know what? That's exactly what Jeremiah did. He received it and he communicated it to the people. The second fact, the second truth we discover here, that Jeremiah was the son of Hilkiah. Verse 1 there, it says that second part. There was a high priest recorded for us in 2 Kings 22. And his name was Hilkiah. Not just a priest, but the high priest during the reign and during the days of Josiah the king. We actually believe that this was Jeremiah's father. And he was responsible for finding the law of God. It was almost as if God's word had been hidden somewhere and forgotten, put away. And Hilkiah the high priest, when he was given the instructed by Josiah to go and search around and collect the monies that had been given for the restoration of the temple, it was then he found the word of God. It's recorded for us there in 2 Kings. It was almost, forgive me for saying it, but it was almost as if it was like shoved somewhere, you know, underneath a cupboard somewhere, and suddenly he got it out and he found it and he blew the dust off it and he said, you better take this back to the king. I think this is important. Important? It's the law of God. It's the instruction of God for His people that had been so forgotten, but so precious that it became to Hilkiah that he knew the king needed to receive this. This is what it says. And when concerning those days in which they were living in, the sad days in which they were living in, recorded for us in Deuteronomy, and I think it's chapter 17, forgive me, I've not put the exact chapter down, but if you need it, I'll tell you where it is. But it's a sad truth in their day, and especially reflective on where Josiah was, because in Deuteronomy 17, it says these, when you come onto your throne, when you as the new king sit on your throne, this is what you should do. You shall write for yourself in the book a copy of this law, the law of Moses, approved by the Levitical priests, and it shall be with you, and you shall read it all the days of your life, and you that you may learn to fear the Lord your God by keeping all the words of the law and these statutes and doing them. You know, whenever a king was an appointed, that's the first thing they had to do, was find the law and write it out by hand. And once there's nothing like reading something and then writing it, you begin to memorize it. But then it says, and you should keep it with you all the days of your reign. And remember it and do it. You know, the sad thing is in Jeremiah's day, and also in many of the kings, and the kings of Israel who had already gone into exile, but also in the kings of Judah, only 8 good kings were found out of all 20 that were there. Every single one of them forgot to return to the Word of God, to return to the law of God, so that they knew how they would worship God, how they should present God to the people. Do you know, Jeremiah is so important because that's true in our day as well, where there are many who stand in places of importance, places in the pulpit, and they no longer open the Word of God. Dr. Vernon McGee said his important observation. He said that revivals are not caused by men. They are caused by the Word of God. The Word of God is responsible for every revival that was taking place in church history. Do you know what? The Lord's servant was dead right. It's true to say that behind any move of God, there's also a powerful praying people as well. But it's a people who are actually following the Word of God, the instructions that God has given them. The sad truth in Josiah's day that this was not known. They were caught up with godlessness, and they needed their attention brought back to the Word of God. It is significant to learn that Jeremiah will actually attempt to turn the peoples back to the Word of God. He'd seen the blessings that come. Maybe he had. Well, we know he had. Because when his father Hilkiah found the law of God and gave it to the king, and Josiah read it for the first time, he ripped his clothes in repentance and called the people to obey the word of God. Jeremiah knew that. He knew the importance of the restoration of God's word in it to his people. And so it's no small thing that Jeremiah was born into this family with this man of God called Hilkiah. You know, the sad truth is, despite his attempts to try and bring the people back to God, in many ways, not only was it a lonely task, but it was an unsuccessful task as well. Notice something else there. Fact there is, Hilkiah was one of the priests as well. This meant that Jeremiah came from a priestly family. It would have been quite natural for him to become a priest. It doesn't record that he was in any way. In fact, he wasn't maybe appointed as that, but what he was appointed as was that he was a prophet. He was called even from birth. Even before I knew you in your mother's womb, I called you and appointed you as a prophet to my people and to the nation. It's a wonderful blessing when children who are raised in a godly environment grow up to love the Lord and to love the Word of God. We're so blessed that we've got children even with us tonight, even when we're going through a series like Jeremiah. You're all here. Kids, are you there? You may not appreciate it now, but can I talk to you just for a minute? Adults, shh, close your ears. You are so privileged. You are so blessed to have mummies and daddies who love the Lord, who love God and love his word and teach you the ways of God. I didn't appreciate it when I was growing up, I've got to confess, especially when mum used to say, you've got to go to church. But you know, as I look back now and I see how they not only modeled how to walk and how to be a Christian for me, I just thank God for them. My heart and my prayers that one day you will do that as well as you look back. Jeremiah was one of them. He was privileged to live in a godly home. And by the goodness and the grace of God, many of you have been as well. And we just pray that God's hand would continue to be upon you. Fourthly, you notice there that Hilkiah and Jeremiah lived among the priests of Anathoth. Anathoth was Levitical priest city in the tribal territory of Benjamin. There it is, located there on the map as well for us, just to see. Those of you who like maps, in fact, so much so, I've put two maps on. There's the next one, Ben, thank you. It was located about 3 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Joshua had actually given the land to the priestly line, to the Levitical line, all the way back when they'd taken possession of the promised land. Remember, they divided up all the nations once they'd finally settled in the land. And that area in around Benjamin was actually given to that priestly line. It was in quite close proximity to Jerusalem, so much so that when the prophet Isaiah spoke about the destruction that would come upon Jerusalem, upon Zion, he actually said, you be careful, Anathoth, because you will be affected by it, such as your close proximity to the Jerusalem. But more than that, because of it was a priestly town. A priestly town that no longer revered the word of God. Some of Jeremiah's ministry took place in that region, although the majority of it was actually in Jerusalem itself. But living in Anathoth, Jeremiah would have had a quiet upbringing, a rural village raised among biblical scholars of his time, living near what was supposedly the most religious city in the world. But again, it's something worth pointing out, something that I made reference to last time. That just because we can be in a godly religious environment, it doesn't mean, just because we can be in a religious environment, it doesn't mean that that environment is necessarily godly. Because there are many, many false religions today that preach a different gospel. Do you want to know the difference between Christianity, real Christianity, and every other religion? Look at what they say about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he was a good man. Oh, he was a good teacher. Oh, he was a very moral man. No, he was the Son of God. He was God himself. And he's the only way to salvation. And if any other religion preaches another way or preaches another way of salvation, even salvation plus, they are an anathema to God. There is only one way. Only one way. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they may preach and teach an awful lot of religious stuff, but their religion is corrupt. Next fact. Hilkiah and Jeremiah were living in the land of Benjamin as well. Might seem a trivial thing just for me to point this out, but the fact that the scriptures records for it, it's an important thing. What was the land of Benjamin? Well, Benjamin bordered the territory of Judah. It's about 26 miles long, 12 miles wide. It wasn't a very, very big. In fact, it was one of the smallest of the territories. But by the virtue of the fact that they lived in this territory of Benjamin, Jeremiah had some tribal knowledge of what it meant to be a kingly nation. The first king of Israel came from this tribe, whose name was Saul. And why I feel it's so relevant and why it's important to the backcloth of all that we're going to say is simply this, is because Jeremiah is going to do something which some of us don't always like doing, but it's important sometimes to do. He's going to actually speak into not only the political life of Israel, but also the kingly life as well. He had a responsibility, he had a backcloth of knowing what it meant to live in a royal place. where royalty came from, and he could see the corruption of it as well. Not only could he see the corruption of the political life, but more than that, the corruption of the priestly life as well. It's a fascinating thing, is that Jeremiah will attempt to turn the political world and the priestly world back to the Word of God. But his assignment is a lonely one. But in order for him to succeed, he was well qualified, well prepared in the Lord, because of his priestly and because of this royal connection that he would have had. Secondly, you notice there that the Word of God came to Jeremiah, and this is an important phrase. The Word of the Lord is used some 349 times in the Old Testament. Did you know that it's used 157 times just in Jeremiah itself? Such is it important. The Word of the Lord came. Who is the Word of the Lord? Who is the Lord? The Lord God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. He's the one that we should sit up and listen to, is he not? 157 times it says in Jeremiah, the Word of the Lord came. The words are not just the words of men, even though man communicated them, even though God inspired the words to be written. It's God's Word. And the inference is that God's Word just came to Jeremiah. In other words, Jeremiah didn't actually solicit it. It's not in Jeremiah, oh, I really, really wish that God would make me a prophet. He didn't plead with God. He didn't ask that God should make him this. It's just that God appointed him and put his Word in his mouth. What's interesting is he came from this priestly town, but none of the other priests were chosen. None of the other priests were given that responsibility, but Jeremiah was. And he was faithful to it. God chose him, and he made him his prophet. A prophet had one main job, and that was to accurately communicate the Word of God to his people. Under this job of being a prophet, there were two main responsibilities, however. First of all, to communicate the truth of God, no matter what the truth was, and to whom the truth is aimed. Sometimes as a preacher, sometimes you guard yourself. I've got to confess that. Dr. Martin used to put it this way. There's an awful lot of pulpiteering that goes on. In other words, that the congregation, that the pews dictate to what the preacher will say because of fear. Or because in the back of the preacher's mind, he's always got that thought, they pay my wage. I'll have to be careful. No. No, with Jeremiah. Jeremiah was faithful. And he communicated God's Word exactly how he received it. And that was the responsibility. Firstly, to communicate the truth, but secondly, to communicate the truth, prophecies of God, revealing what God would futuristically do, not only to foretell, declare what God has done, but to predict what God will do as well. It's one of foretelling and foretelling. If one were a true prophet of God, they would also have three ways in which they would communicate God's truth. Firstly, we'll see there a prophet communicated God's Word by speaking it. So in many ways, this was the far best way that a prophet could actually communicate God's Word. He would go from place to place and literally speak whatever the Word of God says. It could be the same message to a different people, a bit of an itinerant ministry. But nevertheless, it was always through direct revelatory message from God himself. Secondly, a prophet would communicate God's Word in writing as well. A prophet would write down God's Word so that not only that generation, but other generations would understand what God is saying to his people. In fact, God specifically said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 36, get your scroll out, take a scroll and write all these words that I'm giving to you this day concerning Israel, concerning Judah, and concerning the nations. And that's exactly what he did. A prophet not only spoke inspired truth, but he wrote it as well. And thirdly, a prophet communicated God's word by his actions as well, by the things he did. God would at times tell a prophet to do some certain things, some of them very, very unusual things, in order to practically communicate his truth as well. He would have a prophet do strange things to visually illustrate it. Hosea, remember what God did for Hosea? He told Hosea to go and take and marry a woman who would be unfaithful. And through it, he would illustrate the unfaithfulness of his people Israel. In Jeremiah 13, God said to Jeremiah, buy a linen waistband. And when you've bought it, go and take it and bury it in some mud and some water and bury it deep down and make it all dirty and soggy and rotten, and then go and leave it there for days and then come back and pick it up when it's all rotten and show the people. He also said to him as well in Jeremiah 18, Jeremiah, go to a potter, a maker, and see a vivid illustration of what God is going to do, about to do with Israel. In Jeremiah 19, God said, had Jeremiah go and buy a jar and gather all the elders of the city together and show this wonderful jar to them. No, he didn't. What he said is, when you get there, smash it. And tell them, this is exactly what I'm going to do to Israel because of their unrepentance. In Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah buys a relative's field in Anathoth to illustrate what would happen to the land in the future. And so a prophet's job was to accurately communicate the word of God, whether that was in written form, in spoken form, or in action. They were to be faithful to what God has given them, and praise God. He was not intimidated by the people, even though they threatened him. He remained faithful to God's word. Next, Jeremiah first received God's word and a prophetic calling in the days of Josiah. Look what it says there in verse 2. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, the son of Amon, the king of Judah. Josiah was the son of Amon. Now, Amon was a wicked, wicked king of Judah. He reigned from 642 BC to 640 BC, just 2 years. I just remind you, there will be questions on all of these figures later on, so please, I want you all awake and attentive. He was an evil, wicked king. He was very arrogant as well, and he promoted all forms of idolatry. He was so corrupt that finally his own servants assassinated him because of his wickedness. Josiah was Amon's son. And amazingly, despite being brought up in that atmosphere, he came to the throne at just the age of 8. And the scriptures record something very wonderful for us, that by the age of 12, he began to reverse all the things that his father had done. He began to reverse all the idolatry that had entered into the land of Israel by the age of 12. Parents, your kids can be used mightily of God, even at a young age, to communicate to their generation and to others the truth of God. Look at the boy Samuel. As I've so often said it, in the days of Eli the high priest, he didn't know when God was calling him. He couldn't hear God's voice. He was blind to the sins of his sons. But God spoke to that young boy Samuel. 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 God can speak into the hearts of our children, that they may be witnesses in their day, in their generation. Josiah took up free will offerings to rebuild the temple, and God blessed him. He blessed him with peace and prosperity, and there was tremendous reform. It was into this atmosphere that Jeremiah began his ministry. And in some ways, you could understand why the people in his day were saying, we're disregarding everything he said, because look, Josiah was king. There was great reform that had happened under him. There was prosperity. There was evidence of God's blessing. And there's Jeremiah comes along and say, woe to you. Oh no, you're wrong. You're no soothsayer, saying those things. You're just like the other prophets. You're a troubler of Israel. Do you know, in our land today, we may sometimes think that all is good, all is well. We're still one of the most prosperous nations in the world. But you know, we are one of the most sin-sodden nations in the world. And God's hand is gradually being lifted from us. Now, if you spoke that in certain circles, you'd be kicked out. But the evidence of it is all around us. And so Jeremiah started his prophetic ministry during this reign of Josiah in the 13th year, which would have been around about 627 BC. And penultimately, Jeremiah prophesied until the 11th year of the reign of Zedekiah. Zedekiah reigned somewhere from around about 597 to 586 BC. Just 11 years, which means Jeremiah had a prophetic ministry that began in the days of Josiah, went all the way through to the reign of Jehoiakim, all the way through to the reign of Zedekiah. And Jeremiah does not mention two other kings that reigned in their day. The simple reason being is because they were so wicked and they only reigned for months. God removed them very, very quickly. But altogether, Jeremiah lived through these evil, corrupt political leaders, and his ministry lasted some 41 years. And during the whole of that time, by the goodness of God, Jeremiah was faithful to his word. Faithfully declared the prophetic truth. Jeremiah became known as a man who accurately heralded the word of God. He did it, though, without any positive response. You know, if we looked at him today, if Jeremiah was here in this pulpit today and we looked at the success of his ministry, he would be an absolute flop. No one was saved under his ministry. Everybody rejected what he was saying. They called him a heretic and everything. But he was faithful to God's word. Finally, Jeremiah ministered until the exile of Jerusalem in the fifth month. Verse 3 as we close tonight. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the fifth month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. Jerusalem fell sometime in the August of 586 BC. We don't know exactly how long Jeremiah ministered after that period of time. Jeremiah was eventually exiled to Egypt, where he died. History says, which we're not sure, but history records for us that he was stoned to death in Egypt. Ironically, not by the Egyptians, but stoned to death by some of his own fellow Israelites who were living in the land. They were so angered because he presented the truth and that God fulfilled the truth that he presented that they turned their anger to God on the Lord's servant. What a life, what a ministry, and what a call. But as we begin with this evening, I say again that God's word is to be communicated to all people at all times, in all political and all religious settings. That includes in deepest, darkest Holmgate today. In deepest, darkest Derbyshire, in deepest, darkest United Kingdom, God's word needs to be declared. And God has raised us up. He's raised up faithful men and women in his church that we might, as the Lord's servant prayed, that we might be truth and salt and light in the days in which we're living in. That means we're going to be hated. We're going to be criticized. We're going to be ostracized. But we need to be those who are prepared to stand on the truth of the Word of God. How blessed are we? We have His Word in written form in our own language. All of us can turn on our internet and our go on YouTube, and we can listen to a wealth of sermons. Switch on the radio and tune into whatever Christian radio that you love to listen to. We are so blessed. But we're not just to be so blessed and so have so much to keep it to ourselves. We are left here to communicate the truth of God's word to our, in our day, in our generation. And so as we reflect on the truth of Jeremiah, my prayer for us in this season together, especially as we consider in the truth of the prophetic word, that we would be found faithful. Faithfully declaring God's word in our day, in our generation. Folks, we may not be successful in it. We may not get hundreds of conversions. Some of you have been faithfully doing it, as we discovered last week, for 48 years in this place. As a witness. We may feel that for all that we've sown, we've never seen, we've never reaped some of the benefits of it. But God says we're to remain faithful. Not necessarily to be successful, but to be faithful. Praise God that Jeremiah was. May the Lord help us to be faithful in our day, in our generation, for his glory's sake. Amen.